Okay, we welcome you in on a Monday, June 1st. You made it, as we say, good morning, good afternoon, depending where you are. I'm Patrick Maher, live in Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We say hi to Michael, where I know it's nice out there in Jersey. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Patrick. Couldn't be better. Life is good here. You know, got good weather. The Jersey Shore is alive. We got a lot of people out and about on the beach. So, I think we're kind of turning the corner here.
Yeah, I think so. We've got a packed show today. We're going to jump back into Chris Sims. There's a couple questions I want to ask you. He hasn't released more as far as his top 40 quarterbacks, but I want to dig into a couple of those. Also, Lombardi's list today, the top five running backs. I can guarantee you two of them are going to surprise you. And then WWMD. What would Michael do? We'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. Obviously, you know, tenuous, scary times across the nation. You've seen a lot of organizations, a lot of coaches, Frank Reich today, lending their voices to the circumstances that's overwhelming America. I don't know about you, Michael, but here on the Lombardi Line, you know, we provide bettors information to attack the betting market, to edify the bettor on how to become a better bettor. But we can't ignore what's going on. But I just wanted to put that on the table. Kind of an odd, ominous time right now. But we're here to help you edify your betting experience.
Yeah, I think it's really important, you know, that we listen and look, our actions are going to speak a lot louder than putting something up on Instagram or Twitter. That's really the only thing that's going to change anybody. And we have to be able to do that. We have to be able to see the change and enact the change in our daily lives. It just can't be, okay, I put something up on Twitter today, I'm all good, you know, or I quoted some former, you know, a statesman or president or whomever, I'm all good. You know, we got to live it every day. We've got to believe it every day. We've got to act it every day. And I think that's really where the change must come. It comes from within.
Yep. And like we said, that's not what we do here, but we wanted to mention it. We're not insensitive to anything that's happening, but our job, we jump into the betting market and we try to find some holes. So why don't we do this? Our partner there on the Lombardi Line, of course, you know, you can sign up for the daily newsletter right now. Just go to vsin.com, enter your email address. It's awesome. Michael's been a part of that as well. But Josh Applebaum, you know, he mentioned that the market's a little soft right now on the Ravens. So let me throw a couple of things at you. The Ravens, of course, 14-2 last year, finished with 12 straight wins to finish off the season, a plus 249 point differential, Michael, which is insane. And, you know, John Harbaugh's come out and said, we kind of caught the league by surprise last year. The number set at 11.5 at FanDuel. DraftKings has it set at 11. So that's quite a step back, specifically with the easiest schedule. You know, the 2020 opponents the Ravens are going to take on were 112 and 144 last year. Do you feel the 11 is too low for this Ravens team?
You know, I think they're really a good team. I think they're going to be better on defense. I mean, look at their secondary. Just look at what they've been able to accomplish. And when they traded for Marcus Peters last year, you know, it really turned their team around. I think defensively, they're hard to play. I think offensively, they're hard to play. They're good in all phases of the game. I mean, look, they've got the one weapon no one else has. They have a field goal kicker who doesn't miss. Right. I mean, he just doesn't miss. And so, you know, all those close games, I think if Dallas would have had Tucker last year on their team, maybe they wouldn't have been 1-7 in close games. So they've got a lot of things lined up for them. Now, you know, they're talking about Lamar Jackson's got to improve on down the field throws. No doubt. He's got to improve in every phase of the passing game. But what Baltimore can't do, what they can't do is lose who they are identity-wise offensively. They've got to be able to run the cow. They've got to be able to pound the rock. And I think, to me, sometimes when you have four guys that you want to run, you try to give everybody reps. I don't think that's a good thing. I think that committee mentality doesn't always work. I think they need to go with Ingram and J.K. Dobbins and say, okay, Gus Bradley and whomever, that's all we have. We're playing these two, and that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, Baltimore drafted Patrick Queen, the linebacker out of LSU, then J.K. Dobbins, of course, Ohio State. Steph, can you throw that screen up again as far as points bet? The variance as far as win totals is crazy as far as the market's concerned. FanDuel has the Ravens set at 11.5. The juice is on the under at minus 125. You just saw points bet. Points bet's got it 11.5 juiced up to the over, and then DraftKings has them set at 11. Okay, so you know, odds makers are telling you this is an 11-5 team, essentially. Again, the Ravens, by the numbers, easiest schedule in 2020. There you see it, 11.5 minus 130 to the over. We welcome you in here on the Lombardi Line. It is, of course, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi. We were just talking about the daily newsletter. Josh was talking about the market being a little soft on a 14-2 Ravens team last year. Michael, you wanted to follow up.
Well, I mean, look at that December schedule, Patrick. I mean, like, just say they're into December and they're 7-5, right? You know, you don't think that, you know, that now I know that's going to, they're going to push at 11, but I mean, that schedule to me is fairly easy coming Baltimore in Cleveland Monday night, the Jags, the Giants, the Bengals. Those are three, to me, those are three wins, get you healthy wins. Where else? I mean, like, the, you know, they got the Redskins. You know, they're at the Redskins, which is like a home game. They've got the Bengals. There's five easy games on their schedule right there that I just quoted. So if they, that's five. So now the other 11, if they go 7-4 in the other 11 games, there's 12 wins.
Look at that 15, 16, and 17. I mean, think about that. Hosting the Jags, hosting the Giants at the Bengals. If you're sitting on 10 wins with the Ravens, you've got an over ticket in your hand, and you get the week 15, you're feeling pretty damn good about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I think, you know, it isn't like they come out of the gates. They start with the Brownies at home. They got to go to the Texans. We know they've got that'll be a challenge. The Chiefs Monday night. Then they've got the Bengals. Then they've got the Redskins and Bengals. Right. So there's a two games they're gonna they got five wins that when you look at this schedule and say, wow, there's five. I think they have now the other 11. You know, if they go 7-4 in the other 11, you know, that's 12-4.
I'm not going to lay 228 in division, though. That's a big number to lay. Listen, we don't know what the Pittsburgh Steelers are right now. Ben looks good. He's back plus 350 on the Steelers in division. Who knows what to expect from Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns? You know, it's that's always up in the air, but they're, you know, in division 6-1, and the Bengals will toss at 20-1. But again, that's a big number to lay in division with the Ravens. I'd rather dance with that 11 total.
Me too. I would rather go there. And I think I'd like the Steelers at over 8.5. I don't think the Steelers are an 8-8 team. I think they'll win 9. I can't see the Steelers not being 9-7. If the Steelers are 9-7 with Ben playing 16 games, that's a real disappointment for Pittsburgh. I mean, once again, you know, look at their schedule. I mean, look at their schedule. They look at their month of December. I mean, they got the Bengals, Colts, and Browns. Now, I think the Colts will be a hard game, but they'll play them at home. Obviously, the Colts get them outdoors. Phillip Rivers on the grass outside. Maybe we'll have fans by then. Who knows? But to me, I think Pittsburgh's schedule looks like it could easily get to 9. Now, we had, you know, what was last? Well, this is points bet here. The graphic before was DraftKings. I mean, shopped your deal. But 8.5 to 9.5, there's a lot of variance in those two deals. I mean, I read Peter King's column this morning. You know, he's gave his power rankings this week. I think he had the Patriots at 22. I think he had the Steelers in the top 10. I mean, I think everybody's guessing at this point. I think you have to look at the schedule and say, where are the easy outs and can you get there? And I think there's some easy outs right there for Pittsburgh. What Washington's going to be, Cincinnati. I mean, you get Cincinnati twice with a rookie quarterback. I mean, I think that's pretty good.
You take a look at week one as far as the Ravens are concerned. They open up in division. They're hosting the Browns. It's a big number there. They're laying 8 hosting the Browns in a total of 49.5.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a big, you know, number.
That's a big number. You know, I think some of these numbers, to me, they seem a little bit out of, like, the Chiefs Texan opening day number seems like an awful big number. You know, it seems like, you know, how can that,
that's,
you know,
10, 11, by the way. Yeah, the Chiefs 10. Are hosting, I mean, the Texans 10. One book's got it 10.5. That's a big number. You're right about that.
I think they're just throwing. I mean, not that they're throwing number. It's hard. Like, you can't make your power rankings to get your number right now because you don't have enough data. You're just guessing. It's based on last year's numbers, but you know it may change and impact. So, I mean, I think it's really hard to kind of handicap that. And look, last year we know there were some teams like the Brownies. Everybody was betting the over. Like, you know, the Tampa. I mean, Peter King has Tampa, I think, the fifth best team in the country. I think, to me, They're a lock to be under 10 wins. I don't see how they get to 10 wins.
Okay, so we had the second year bounce. I want to ask you, if I'm a Ravens backer, then we'll move on from this here on the Lombardi Line. Got a ton to do over the next hour. Lamar Jackson and Greg Roman. Okay, so Lamar had the second year bounce last year. Is this Roman offense, I'm a better now, is this Roman offense something that the league will catch up to, or do you believe it's that sophisticated?
Well, I don't think it's as much sophistication as much as it is speed. You know, right. Who simulates Lamar Jackson in practice so you get used to it, you know? And who does it? And I think the Ravens stopped themselves in the playoff game. They became pass happy. Not that they, you know, they've got to play good defense. They've got to get the ball back, and they've got to play within themselves. And that's what they typically need to do. But, you know, the run game, I mean, look, when the Patriots play there, they showed how slow the Patriots looked on defense. They exposed them. The Patriots were always a half man short, and they struggled to really defend them. I think it's a speed issue. I think it's hard to simulate Lamar Jackson in your practice so you get used to it, and they do a good job. They're only going to get better at the pull and keep look that they utilize, and I'm sure Roman will come up with new ideas and new ways of doing it.
Lamar Jackson right now sitting 7-1 to repeat as the MVP. Of course, the favorite in the clubhouse MVP is Patrick Mahomes at 4-1. That's a short number. So your second betting favorite is Lamar Jackson at DraftKings, Russell Wilson at 8-1. By the way, Sports Illustrated just did something that you'd love. The most influential minds offensively in the NFL starts with Sid Gilman. That was more AFL, of course, passing in particular. He had influence on your buddy Al Davis and Bill Walsh. Other names mentioned, Bill Walsh was number 2 on the list. Joe Gibbs was number 3 on the list. And they brought Andy Reid into it as far as the most offensively, the most influential mind in football. The next generation, they had aforementioned Greg Roman and Kyle Shanahan. What do you think of those names?
Oh, I think it's good. I think, you know, both Shanahan and Roman are all about play action passes. I think where that list ended is when Andy has to throw the ball down the field, or Andy's behind in a game, he's got a passing game, he's got a drop back passing game. Kyle and Roman, and I've had this conversation with Kyle when he was at Cleveland, when he was at Atlanta, and it works. Trust me, when they're ahead of games, they don't need a play action pass, but because they're limited in protection, when they have to run drop back pass game, that does affect them. He needs to expand that, and then all of a sudden his offense will be even more dynamic than it already is. And it's the same thing with Roman. I mean, they don't want to get into a drop back game. It's the same thing with Sean McVay. He does not want to get into a drop back passing game. All those other offenses you cited, they could throw drop back passes. They did not need to rely on play action passes, but those other to do. And I think what Reed's been able to do is take the West Coast offense and combine it with a college look. And so it's really, a lot of teams in the league call it West Coast College because it's got some option in it. It's got the spread in it. It's got a lot of different things, although the principles are rooted in West Coast offense. So I think Andy Reed is really, truly an entrepreneur. What is an entrepreneur? He takes an existing idea and makes it better. That's Andy Reed.
A question for you. They didn't have McVay, who you just mentioned as, you know, one of the offensive minds of the next generation. Now, McVay under the Shanahans in Washington, are the systems very similar? How do you differentiate the offense McVay's running with the Rams and what Shanahan's doing with the 49ers?
They're very similar. It's based in West Coast. So Kyle Shanahan's dad, Mike Shanahan, was in the 49ers system. And he was with Alex Gibbs. They developed the outside zone system, and they developed the play action pass. So everything's tied off of play action passes. And they were going to go with smaller offensive linemen so that they could come off the ball and get the second level, not necessarily the first level. They were not looking to knock people off the ball. They were looking to get people running. And when they got them running, they could create space and tell the back one look and cut, and we're going. And then from that, they built a passing game. And what happens to Mike, it happened to Kyle, it happens to Sean, is if they get behind in a game and they've got to run drop back passes, they've got very few drop back passes that they can really count on, because the linemen struggle to pass protect in a straight drop back scheme because that's not what they're built for. And if you can make them play that way, you can really dominate them. Now, what's funny is the Chiefs didn't make them play that way. And the Chiefs were still able to beat them, even though they were able to still have play action pass within their offense.
So Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM here on VSiN. A ton to do. We're going to jump back into Chris Sims' list as far as the top 40 quarter. We had fun with that on Friday. Also, what would Michael do? I've got something for him today on that. Lombardi's list of top 5 running backs in the NFL. You're going to be surprised by 2 of them. I'm worried. You mentioned Cleveland as far as the hype team last year. I'm starting to get a little worried about Arizona. That's a tough division, first off. But Kenyon Drake's calling Kingsbury a genius. They're saying, bring Cam in. It's all good. The culture's great here. He'll be a mentor to Kyler Murray. Everything's coming up roses as far as the desert in Arizona. Kingsbury didn't win in college. Now all of a sudden he's, I understand, you know, schematically, he draws up a nice offense, but there's a hell of a lot more that goes into creating a winning culture than drawing up a nice offense.
Yeah, and I think it really is going to come down to Vance Joseph and how good Steve Keim has been able to get defensive players on this team. Are they going to be good enough? You know, they signed Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips is a guy that was a really talented player at Oklahoma, got drafted early in Miami, kind of an underachiever, got cut by Miami because he underachieved, went to Buffalo, kind of refurbished his career there, and Arizona then paid him. Is he going to be able to play well enough? Can they do something with Isaiah Simmons? We can talk about Cliff's genius, and I think Cliff's a really good coach, but the people don't understand how bad they were on defense last year. I mean, they were so bad defensively. You know, forget yards, plays, red zone. I mean, Vance Joseph as the defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals, it's kind of remarkable he kept his job in the offseason because they were that bad defensively. And they didn't have players, so maybe they're figuring like, okay, now we're going to get better. Can Brian Murphy cover anybody? I mean, when you look at it, they couldn't stop the forward pass to save their life. And they have one of the best pass rushers in football in Chandler Jones. You know, now they've added some players, but somebody's got to convince me that they're going to get better in the secondary. They're going to get better on the second level. Isaiah Simmons is going to solve all their problems. I think that's the concern there.
And you mentioned Kingsbury's good coach. Is he? I mean, Pat Shurmur is a tremendous offensive mind, but you put him in front of a room as far as leading men. He wasn't necessarily a head coach. That's okay. You don't have to be. Kingsbury, with every successive year at Texas Tech, they regress. That was bringing in his recruits. Okay. His best year was his first 2 years. It'll be interesting to see. I know this, you know, Arizona's win total set at 7. Again, it's a tough division. It's juiced up to the over at minus 130 right now. It does just feel like one of those hype teams, right? Like there's juice.
Yeah.
It's a young team. It's a hip team. Murray played pretty well in the second half of the season. That's where I'm at right now with the Cardinals.
Yeah, I am a little bit too. I can't see that jump. I mean, I know everybody's hot to trot on them. Is their offensive line going to be good enough? You know, do they have enough depth? And can Murray continue on that same plateau that he had last year? That's going to be the interesting thing to see what he does. And can he develop the game in that? Can people rush him a different way? The Rams are the wild card, right? The Rams are, how good are the Rams going to be? Are the Rams really the third best team, or is Arizona going to be able to take them over? I worry about the Rams defensively. Do they have enough talent? And I worry about the Cardinals defensively. I think the sleeper team, the undervalued team, and the Seahawks, because to me, there's not a game and a half difference between the 49ers and the Seahawks when it was 6 inches between who was going to have home field advantage and who was the one seed and who was the five. And I think if Seattle continues, I'm telling you, somebody's going to sign Antonio Brown. And I think somebody in the West is going to do it. And whoever signs them is going to win the West.
Yeah, and I don't hate Russell Wilson at 8-1 on MVP either. It just feels momentum. There feels like something's a brewing with that team this year. I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's just a sense, you know?
I do too. And I think that, you know, he's got a good offense. He's got his offensive line back a little bit. You know, defensively, they've tried to change who they were last year defensively. LJ Collier's come out and said he's got to play better, which is true. They've got to get pass rush. Reed missed 6 games last year. He's their best defensive lineman. He missed 6 games. All the clowny talk, really, no one's talking about. I think if they sign Everson Griffith or if they sign Antonio Brown, I think that makes a huge difference. I think Seattle's a tough team to play. Everybody's worried about Russell Wilson, especially with 5 minutes to go in the game. If Wilson's down or if he has the lead, he's a problem.
Well, you mentioned AB, Antonio Brown. We had that with what would Michael do as far as Gordon and Brown on Friday. Well, Deion Sanders, he's being pretty vocal about Antonio Brown getting back into the league. He's working out with him down in Florida. Remember, you know, if there is a landing spot for Antonio Brown, let's revisit this. His cousin, Hollywood Brown, there with the Ravens. I don't know, maybe there's a fit there. The Bucs, Brady loves him. You know, they've got a bunch of weapons, but he does love them. And Seattle would be, I mean, think about, he really hasn't had weapons. He certainly hasn't, Russell Wilson hasn't ever had a weapon like Antonio Brown.
I mean, look, this is one of the best receivers in football, and he's paid his price. I mean, whether, you know, I don't know what the league is going to do in terms of the suspension or where is he, but he's truly one of the best receivers in football, and he will shift the balance of power to whatever team he goes to, and he will get the football, and he will make a difference. And I, you know, if I'm Seattle, before I sign Josh Gordon, I'm signing Antonio Brown, you know. And I think that if you're, say you're Indianapolis and you've got Phillip Rivers, you got Frank Wright, you got a really good locker room, you know, maybe you go there. You know, Bruce Arians had him in Pittsburgh, and Bruce Arians was like, I want nothing to do with him, right? So that's why Brady can't convince him. But I'm telling you what, I know Tom Brady, he ain't giving up on just one no. It's going to take about 800 no's before he gives up.
By the way, DeSean Jackson, just quickly, he mentioned, and this is the intimacy that could be provided with the no fans. And I don't know if this will work. You can tell me, but he's an advocate, DeSean Jackson, for miking up the players. Listen, if we're not going to have any fans, let's go intimate. Let's mic up the players. Now, there might be some FCC rules in front. You know, there's a, I mean, it's a pretty brutal as far as language is concerned. But what do you think about that? Miking up the players?
Well, I think it's a great idea, but the problem is if the coaches can hear players mic'd up, they may know what the play is. You know, it might give away too many secrets, you know, and the play and the coaches are kind of wired. Now, they tried to do a lot of mic'd up in the XFL, and they had a lot of half, you know, the reporters were interviewing the players coming off the field. The players were mic'd up. Did it feel interactive to you? Did you feel like you got intimate with the game? Mm. I don't know about that. I mean, I think to me, the broadcast can bring you intimate by the knowledge of the announcers, not necessarily what they're hearing from the players.
We're not going to lose you to the Monday night booth, are we?
Oh, no doubt. No, I got no shot. No, you're kidding me.
Well, they're idiots.
I'm too outspoken for them. They don't want
I know.
That.
Well, isn't that what we want?
They want to hit it straight down the middle. You know, they want to. No, everybody's great. Everybody's great. It's like the draft. Everybody had a great draft, Patrick. You just didn't know it.
At M. Lombardi NFL. Get him in the booth. He can do both. My man's talented. We'll come back. Top 40, Chris Sims, NFL quarterback, right here on. All right, it is Manscaped. Of course, Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with code VSIN at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com. Just use the promo code VSIN, and I got my Manscaped trimmer in the mail, and we'll leave it at that. It's private. Okay, it is the Lombardi Line here on VSIN at the Sports Betting Network. You know, before we get to the list, we also have What Would Michael Do coming up in a bit. Lombardi's list with the top five running backs. I'm really excited to get to that. But Dante Scarnecchia, the old offensive line coach, he says he's retired for good this time. Now, as a bettor, you're constantly just digging through quotes. You don't take things at surface value. So I dug into this, and I want to ask you about Dante, who is, you know, Belichick loves him, right? You can help us understand that relationship.
Everybody loves him.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a great dude. But he said, I look at the landscape that currently exists relative to this upcoming season, and more in particular now training camp, because OTAs aren't going to happen. And I say, oh my gosh, he says, I'm not techno savvy. He called it techno savvy. He said, I don't like Zooming and doing all that. I've done it for 48 years. Basically, I'm out. What that does to me, first off, great quotes. But secondly, it starts as a better, it starts to make me realize I'm looking for the teams that are already established. Kansas City could be a monster. Seattle could be a monster. You know, the teams that are progressive as far as their protocol when it comes to tech, you know, you start digging and kind of first let's touch on Dante Scarnecchia and then and jump into that where, you know, this is very jumbled right now. These are human beings trying to figure it out just like we are.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a craftsman, right? So he believes in his craft. And, you know, like if Dante's not coaching, he's probably building something in his garage at home. And so that's what he does. He's a builder. It's the way his mind operates. And, you know, and he's not a power tool guy. I'm sure he still, you know, has the hammer, the saw. He does the things he needs to do. And, you know, in this day and age, it's a challenge. I mean, You got to be on Zoom. You're trying to teach the offense in a new environment. But the one thing I think we could all go through is we're going through this. I think what most coaches that are talking to me about, they're all saying, I've worked harder this offseason than I've ever worked in my life. Mm-hmm. Now, no one would believe that because they think, oh, because you're home. No, you're in there. There's nobody to BS with. There's nobody to go. There's no coffee station. Let's go sit down in the cafeteria for an hour. Oh, let me go grab a workout for an hour and a half. You know, it's like everything is calculated based on these meetings. And I think that there is going to be some. And I think that staffs that have can do a good job, that can organize the players and get them ready to play. I mean, King had New England 23rd. I mean, because, you know, he wasn't going to buy the Jarrett Stidham conversation, even though we heard Chris Sims say on Friday how Stidham reminds him of Tony Romo. But I think what you're missing the point here is there is you should go with coaches that understand how to be organized, how to be disciplined, and how to get things done in a little bit amount of time. And that takes experience. Sean Payton. Right. You know, you got to get guys that understand that. I think guys who have been head coaches, I think these new guys who have been head coaches, I think it's going to be challenging.
And you have to dig, you know, the coach conversation you and I had on the show really made me start thinking about that a little bit differently, digging through offensive line coaches and, you know, Fossil as far as a special teams coordinator. And, you know, I was texting with a friend who was thinking about making an over bet on the Vikings. And I said, one thing you have to understand, this is a major upgrade with Kubiak calling the plays over Stefanski. And that's no offense to Stefanski. Kubiak's perfect in that role.
No doubt. And look, let's just go back to Arizona. We're talking about, do you have faith that Vance Joseph's going to get this defense above 7 wins? I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned about the style of defense that they play. I'm concerned about the defensive adjustments. We can talk about Kingsbury, but let's talk about the collective staff. Let's talk about everybody. Let's talk about his offensive line coach. You know, when has Cliff Kingsbury ever had, as a time of being a head coach, a defense that was dominant? They don't practice to allow a defense to be dominant. So as a bettor, we have to look at that and say, wait a minute, hold on. This doesn't make, you know, if I'm going over on Arizona, I'm counting on a lot of things, right? I'm making this decision based on a lot of variables that I don't see coming through. So I think you really need to nail that down before you go down that street.
As a matter of fact, his defense is at Texas Tech historically bad, and they got worse. They regressed every single year. Every single year they got worse. Less attention was paid.
They can't practice. He doesn't practice. He's never really been a part of it to see how it's done. You got to practice, and then it affects the kicking game. The kicking game becomes affected. So now all of a sudden, you're wondering why you can't win games when two of the three phases, you're not as good as you need to be in.
Okay, I just have 30 seconds. Skarnecchia, what was it about him? Just connecting? Was he just that, a craftsman just so good at explaining?
Okay. He's a teacher. He's a teacher, and he doesn't tolerate. You know, he teaches. He pushes. He's not all everybody singing Kumbaya. He's driving people. He's making them better. Not trying to build consensus. He's trying to lead. That's what he does.
Okay. What would Michael do? Los Angeles Chargers. You'll see. That's coming up. Also, Lombardi's List, top 5 running backs in the NFL as we continue. It's the Lombardi Line. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Day? Is that even a question? Steak. For a limited time, you can find a variety of packages filled with beautiful Omaha steaks. They're so good. Plus other premium meats, side dishes, and desserts. All ideal for Dad's special day. These packages come flash frozen, vacuum sealed, and delivered in a cooler with dry ice safely to his door. All backed by Omaha Steaks' unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code VSIN into the search bar. Many packages include free shipping and free one-pound package of their cured, thick, applewood smoked steak cut bacon. Yum. Visit omahasteaks.com. Enter the code VSIN. That's VSIN in the search bar to shop for Father's Day today. That's Omaha Steaks. Okay. We welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line Hopefully you're safe, happy, and healthy. We're happy to have you with us here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Live from Vegas. He's Michael Lombardi, and he's a philosopher. He's a philosopher. He's well-read. He's got the life coach. He does a great job. I love reading Michael's stuff. He's a great writer as well. So we thought we're going to come up with what would Michael do. So this is a betting application, but also a philosophical question. So let's get into today's what would Michael do. And today has to do with the Chargers quarterback situation. So context, Chris Sims had, let's see, Tyrod Taylor, 34 out of the top 40 quarterbacks in the league, and he had Herbert somewhere right around there. Now, the question is, this is a team in the Chargers that think they can win now, right, Michael? They think they're ready to go now, and Tyrod Taylor, there's comfortability with the head coach. He, Tyrod, to be the week one starter is minus 335. Herbert, to be under center in week one, is plus 300, so 3-1. Here's my question for you. What would you do? You're running this team.
I would do this. I would let them practice, and I would make the decision based on what I saw on the tape around the team, because here's what you can't do. You can't give anybody a job. You can't say it's Tyrod's job. You can't say it's Herbert's job. You got to make them earn it. And here's what's got to happen. Last year, Andy Dalton was the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. They were not playing well. They made the change to Ryan Finley. And what happened? If they didn't go back to Andy Dalton, the team would have just walked out on him. You've got to be able to stand in front of your team or give your coach the option to stand in front of his team and say, this guy's the best player for our team. Now, coaches lie. I mean, we heard Doug Marrone say it with Blake Bortles, and we've seen it in Chicago with Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky. And then you lose credibility each time you do that. But what I would do is I would watch it. It'd be an open competition. And if I were Anthony Lynn, I would not announce a starter until I was sure that I could stand in front of my team and say, this guy gives us the best chance to win. Because when you watch The Last Dance, or you watch Michael Jordan, or you study the Patriots and Belichick, the common ingredient, the secret sauce is, if you play here, you're going to win. And you can get people to give up self-glory. You can give people to give up stats in the opportunity if they're going to win. But once you as the leader take away that option because you have an agenda in place, then you lose all credibility with your people. And then all of a sudden the program deteriorates.
So you believe when Nagy, now that's a different story, but let's just say Anthony Lynn says, we're coming into this with an earnest, honest, open competition to be the week one starter at quarterback. Is that something like Lynn has a relationship with Tyrod Taylor from Buffalo? He feels uber comfortable with him. Do you think it's an honest, open competition between Taylor and Herbert?
You know, and I would tell Anthony Lynn, here's what I would tell Tyrod. Tyrod, this is not a question of, are you better than him today? Let's go back to the Last Dance. Let's go back to what James Worthy said when Michael Jordan showed up. He said, I was better than him. I was better than him for about a week. And then once he figured it out, I wasn't better than him anymore, right? Once he figured it out, I wasn't better than him anymore. So, and that was at North Carolina. That wasn't in Chicago with the Lakers. That was in North Carolina. And so that's the same conversation I would have with Tyrod Taylor. If this guy is going to be better than you by week four, I'm not going to play you. I'm not going to play you if you're just a little bit better than this guy. You're going to have to prove to me that you can lead this team, carry this team, and help this team win. That's going to be the number one thing. Because if all ties are going to him, because eventually, once he gains experience, he's going to be better than you. So I've got to be deadly honest with him and look him in the eye man to man and have that conversation.
16-1, that's the number right now, offensive rookie of the year for Justin Herbert. I will say, on my radio show, I had a gentleman that covered the Pac-12 and covers the Pac-12. The opinion on Herbert is wildly all over the place. He said he's so inaccurate. He said he's never going to be accurate. Kind of Josh Allen-y.
Yeah, or Mitchell Trubisky. But here's the problem. Everybody's grading Oregon's offense. They're grading Marcus Arroyo's offense. They're not really grading Herbert. I didn't like it either. I was doing the same thing. I hate sprinting a quarterback out who's 6 feet six and could throw the ball from here to Toledo, and you're sprinting him out and cutting the field in half. You know, it's like I make fun of Gus Malzone's passing offense all the time because it really does nothing to help the quarterback. It does nothing to help the quarterback. And Oregon's offense really didn't help the quarterback. So we didn't get a really good indication of how good Herbert can be. When he went to the Senior Bowl, all of a sudden everybody's eyes lit up and said, hey, man, this guy's really good. Now, I know it's a Senior Bowl. They're playing cover three, playing cover one. But that's at least gives us some hope. There was no hope in the Oregon offense. Look, I'm not challenging. I mean, Arroyo may be a great coach there, and UNLV is going to have success. It's a college offense. He doesn't have to run an offense to make me happy as a pro evaluator. I've got to be able to see through it, and that's what you got to do with Herbert.
Yep, the Chargers are set at 7.5. You know, from the conversation on Friday with Chris, there was a bit of a delineation between the two of you as far as you haven't been ultimately bullish on this Chargers team, and your hiccup with them could be the defense.
Yeah, and I mean, Chris likes him on defense. I mean, everybody likes him on defense, but they don't look at the numbers. They were 28th right. in the league on third down with Melvin Ingram over here and Joey Bosa over here. You know, right. Now I know they've got a lot. Perryman got hurt and they got a lot of injuries, but who's going to cover? Who's going to make plays for them? I am telling you for a fact that Pete Carroll, cover three, play cover three deep zone. It's over with in the National Football League. You can't do it. Even the 49ers have proven it. They should have a tombstone in the back to bury the defense because it's not going to work. And you're going to bet against those defenses every time. Even if the defensive line is great, like the 49ers, because when they're tired in the fourth quarter, like the Super Bowl, what happens?
Yeah, the names jump off the paper. Derwin James, the two edges, and then you mentioned it. You dig deeper into the numbers, and it was a disaster last year. It wasn't just Phillip Rivers. It was on the other side of the ball as well. So yep, there you have it. Okay, Lombardi's list. I'm excited about this one. The top five running backs in the NFL right now. Two are going to surprise you. We're going to get to that next right here. Remember, you want to follow Michael at @MLombardiNFL or @BeasonLive on Twitter. Lombardi's list, running backs next here on the Lombardi Line. Okay, what better time than now to become a VSiN Plus subscriber? Why? It's free. Costs you nothing. You won't have to decide what to do, pay or cancel, until at least one of the major sports returns. It's awesome. This is, if you're going to do anything associated with the channel, get involved with VSiN Plus, get the subscription, and trust me, you're going to be an insider. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's time for Lombardi's List. Fancy, as we welcome you back. There he is.
Nice. Michael. Well done.
I do like that. Okay, so Lombardi's List, a top five running backs, and again, how this applies to the betting market as well. It's not just, hey, who do I like to watch? Let's go ahead and get started. I, you know, again, I mentioned a couple of them jump out at me, and I do love number five. Almost buried, right? A player that, you know, unless you're really, really passionate about Bengals football, you haven't watched, but he's big, he's explosive, he's a dual threat, he's Joe Mixon.
Yeah, he's hard to tackle. I mean, you know, he can impact the game in all three phases. Now they have Giordano Bernard there to come in on passing downs. But to me, Mixon is hard to tackle. He runs angry. He's physical. He finishes runs off. And as a defensive coordinator, and I think this is how you have to look at running backs, is what are they going to do when he's in the backfield? And when Mixon's back there, you got to play everything, run or pass. You know, people say, well, why not Derrick Henry in your top five? Well, because when he's in the game, everybody's playing run. Mixon is a dominating player in terms of the backfield. He finishes runs. He can catch the ball. He can go out and run routes in space. He can do different things. He's versatile, and he can create an offense within his skill position, which is what I love.
Yeah, and he, again, let's just go ahead and take a look here. 2019, 278 attempts, so they fed him the ball a little over 1,100, an average of 4.1 per pop. You know, five touchdowns. He had 35 receptions and an 8.2 average, so that's pretty darn good. Three touchdown receptions through the air. He's just, like you said, he runs angry. He's a big guy. There were some concerns coming out of college. Those seem to have been quelled, and we're good to go moving forward with a guy that's 23 years old for the Bengals. That's a good backfield now if you add Burrow.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, here's the other thing about him is if anybody ever wants to run behind the one of the worst lines in football lineup in Cincinnati, to get 1,100 yards behind that line, now yeah. It'll be better next year. They've done some things to improve their line, which certainly helped. But to get 1,100 yards and average 4.1 a carry behind that line, pretty good.
Yeah, something you just look at the offensive lines, you know, speaking of which, you know, Le'Veon Bell in his career is a 4.1 guy. Last year behind the Jets, atrocious offensive line, he rushed for an average of 3.1. That's a bigger picture question as far as, again, Joe Mixon in 2018, a little bit better of an offensive line. It wasn't great in 2018 either, averaged 4.9. So you're looking at a guy that's creeping towards 5, which is a key number as far as average per pop, as far as running the football. If you give him a decent offensive line, it could be interesting.
Yeah, and I think he'll have a much better line, and he'll run the football against them. I mean, teams that go play the Bengals, the number one thing they've got to do, stop Joe Mixon.
Yep. Number 4 on the list. We knew it when he slipped coming out of college in the draft. If he could stay healthy, he was going to be a difference maker, and he certainly is that. He's Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's always about running backs are always about block, catch, run. You know, when it's just run, block, catch, or run, catch, block, you don't get as much out of it. You've got to be able to block, you've got to be able to catch, and then you got to be able to run. And Dalvin Cook, to me, is sensational. He's a game changer. He can change possession. He can change the field. He's got explosiveness. He can make one cut, and all of a sudden, it's over with. And in that offense, the outside zone, where he can threaten the outside quadrant of the field and then still be an impactful player within the passing game. Second-round pick, Rick Spielman, nice job there getting this kid. Really a good player. Was a good player at Florida State. I can still remember a run he had against Louisville. When Lamar Jackson played, they tossed him the ball. Next thing you know, he was around the corner. This is a really talented player. I think he's just really starting to come into his own. And as that line in Minnesota gets improved, I think he's going to reach even higher levels.
Yep. 250 rush attempts. And again, somebody corrected me on Friday, which I think is a fair assertion. And that is they were so run heavy. So maybe Stefanski's arms were a little tight because the philosophy comes from Zimmer, obviously. But remember, early in the season, specifically, Minnesota ran the ball nonstop, run. You look at Dalvin Cook and his numbers, he averaged 4.5 a pop last year, which is tremendous. I'm going to go ahead and take a look where the number is as far as his rush yards on the season, as far as a prop, 1160.5, so 1,160.5. And last year, Dalvin Cook ran for 1,135.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing that worries you about the over is Matheson's a good back too, right? So
yes. They've
got two backs. They'd like to rotate. And I'd like to see, you know, for me, it's always about the back in the passing game. You know, can he impact the passing game? Cook can. So some of those swing passes, some of those flats, they're like extended handoffs. He's really getting the ball. They count towards the receiving yards, not towards the rushing yards. Because what's the number one objective for Minnesota? Get Cook in space. Get him out there. Let him have some open territory. Let him make one guy miss. We don't block this guy, but he'll make a miss. I love Cook.
Okay, number 3 on Lombardi's list of the top 5 running backs in the NFL. All he did was go 2,392 as far as yards from scrimmage, the third highest total in league history. He, of course, is Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, you know, once again, I thought when he came out, he was going to have to be a slot receiver. I didn't think he was going to be able to stay and take the pounding and the power of being an inside tackle. Now, he's much better when the spread formation is in play, right? When they're in two backs or he's not tight end and it's a basic formation, you know, this guy's a point guard. He needs the spacing, but what he also is a great receiver. And if you have another back on the field with him where you can utilize his skill set as a receiver, and still utilize his skill set as a runner, that becomes a real problem for defensive coaches, because now you can play nickel against it. You play base against him. If you're in base, that means some linebackers covering McCaffrey, and that's like having Wes Welker or Danny Amendola in the slot. You're not winning that matchup. So it really gives you a lot of versatility on how you want to play it. The key to sports, the key to football, the key to basketball is to substitute without substituting, right? So it's multidimensional players who can function in different roles. That's McCaffrey.
Is attrition an issue? Could it become an issue? I mean, my goodness, 287 attempts, 116 receptions. That's you could go to court. That's libel.
I mean, really, they had Reggie Bohannon on the team last year. They're trying. They're not going to do it this year, because I definitely think that they know they can't do that this year. I think they understand that. They're going to try to really bring in players. They got Mike Davis, who they signed lately last year. So they're going to try to spread it out a little bit so they're not just wearing him down. And I think Bohannon, Davis, someone else needs to really come in and help him out, because I see this back to me like if they had Leonard Fournette for nothing, if you traded for him and you had him and McCaffrey. Fournette's in the backfield, but then you have McCaffrey on the field. So now you're going to get base with Fournette in the game, right? You're going to get base with him in the game because they know he's going to get the ball. So now you get McCaffrey out there in the slot. Who's covering him?
I think number two on your list will surprise some. I think he is so underrated. I think a little slept on because of the season last year. That's Alvin Kamara.
Oh, he's a game changer. To me, he does everything for them. He's exactly what I'm talking about. He is, you got to defend him in every part of the field, and what Sean does with him is great. He's explosive. He can catch. He makes tough yards. He can run inside. He can run outside. I almost put him as the number one back, because at times, the way he's utilized in their offense, he gives them more than my number one back.
850 and a half on rush yards as far as a prop. I have to go over that number with Kamara. I think he's explosive. Okay, let's get the last one in here. On Lombardi's list, the top five running backs, and it is, we're going to Big Zeke D. Elliott. How about them Cowboys? How about Ezekiel Elliott?
I mean, look, this guy could be really, he can be so much better than what he is right now. If they utilize him in the passing game, if they take advantage of his skill set as a receiver, if they get him out in space and he's not on the Cabo San Lucas workout program that he was on last year, if he comes back from there, and doesn't do that program, I think he could be the best player in the league. He's dynamic. He's got great power, speed, explosiveness. I mean, he can carry a football team. He can make life a lot easier for any quarterback on the field.
He's 10-1 to have the most rush yards in the NFL this season. Over under on his rush yards is 1275 and a half. Just quickly on a few that didn't make it, Derrick Henry, who's being run into the ground here. How about Saquon Barkley? You left him off the list.
Well, I mean, Saquon Barkley can't pass protect. At some point, if he doesn't pass protect, all this talk about Barkley's this great back, look, he's got great plays, but when he's in the game, every defensive coordinator is yelling blitz, 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 let's just blitz him. Until he proves he can pass protect, he's not even in the conversation. There's no way you would trade Joe Mixon for Saquon Barkley. There's just no way.
No.
There's no way you would trade Alvin Kamara for him. There's no way you trade Christian McCaffrey for him. That's the problem. You picked a guy who's the second pick in the draft, and there's other backs that are better than him. I mean, I left other guys off that, Derrick Henry's off the list. Nick Chubb belongs on the list. I almost put him five. Nick Chubb belongs on the list as well. But those are blue chip players. I mean, right now, Saquon Barkley is not a blue chip player.
Yeah, people compare his skill to Barry Sanders, but you could leave Barry Sanders in. I mean, he wasn't the greatest blocker ever, but he tried. I mean, this Barkley, he's a matador. He's not blocking.
Look, I mean, I've watched the guy on Twitter the other day. He was squatting like 800 pounds. It looked like he had a semi truck on his back, right? It's great. It's tremendous. But when he takes that power and utilizes that lower body strength into pass protection, then he's going to be a great player. He has what we call blue traits. He doesn't have blue game.
Great analysis. Lombardi's list. So five, let's go Mixon at five, Dalvin Cook at four, Christian McCaffrey, three, Alvin Kamara, two, and then Zeke Elliott, one. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to do a little NBA tomorrow. Michael, have a good day. Stay safe, my
Thanks,
friend.
Patrick.
I'll see you tomorrow at noon. Okay. Noon East, 9 West every day, Monday through Friday, right here on, of course, VSiN. It is the Lombardi Line. Check us out tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. If you missed anything, go to VSiN.com. Also want to remind you, you can follow Michael at M Lombardi NFL. Anything as far as the channel, at VSiN Live and VSiN.com.
Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow noon right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.